the connection between authority and our faith, authority and our understanding of authority. And I'll say this, our submission or lack of submission to authority is directly connected to our faith in God, who is over all and is in all. So we look here in Matthew in chapter 8 at this story of this Roman centurion. Look with me in verse number 5 of Matthew in chapter number 8. It says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him." Notice what the Lord was willing to do, but then notice the centurion's response in verse number 8. "The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am, I know, want you to notice verse number 9, and this is a very important statement. He says this, "For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say unto this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Then Jesus answered and marveled and said unto them that followed him." So we would understand he said unto his disciples, right? The ones that were following. He looked at his disciples and he said, because of the way this man responded, Jesus said this to his disciples. Now look at this statement that he makes. "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith where, no, not in Israel." Well, guess what? Those disciples were all part of that statement. And he was condemning them. Listen, I would say this in a very polite way, that he was looking at them and saying, listen, there is a problem with your faith and in their understanding of authority. And this is amazing when you consider, as we bring this out a little bit over tonight and then the following Wednesday, but we understand this. That there were many times when the disciples wanted to correct Christ and wanted to inform Christ of what he needed to do instead of being under the authority of Christ. That took place a lot as you read through the New Testament among the disciples. So he says this, "I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." And he says, "And I say unto you that many shall come," again he's talking to his disciples, "from the east and the west," that would be like this Roman centurion who was not of Israel, right? They'll come from the east and the west, and like us, amen, who are going to bring under the authority of God, right? From the east and the west, "and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, that thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And the servant was healed in the self same hour." And so I want to look at this tonight, this connection between authority and submission to authority and to faith. The human spirit, we can say this, has a natural aversion to authority. It is within the heart of man to not be submissive unto authority. And we can see that from a little infant child who is going to throw a fit till they get their way. And America seems to have an extra special helping of being unsubmissive to authority and of the human spirit. We certainly have perfected the use of the human spirit. And in some ways, that's good, right? I mean, we have achieved a lot as a nation. And at other times, it's actually the worst enemy that we can actually have to our faith. This idea of this human spirit and the aversion and the lack of submission to authority can be our worst enemy. The American Christian longs for faith, though. I mean, we want to have faith. We talk about faith and with a need of faith, and yet many times we find ourselves lacking in the areas of faith. We find ourselves lacking there, and we must understand that when if you find ourselves in a place of fret and worry, and Americans, we are really good at worrying about a whole lot, aren't we? I mean, we worry about things that are completely outside of our control just because we can worry about them. And when we find ourselves with a struggle in our life that we can't find peace about, and when we find ourselves in discontentment, and we find ourselves to be covetous, and we find ourselves in depression, I'm telling you, all of these things that would be very common in America and very common for the average American, I'll say this, common for the average Christian American, listen to me, all of them point back to a lack of faith in the one who has supreme authority and the one who is in control. If I have peace in Christ, I'll have peace in all these other areas of my life because I understand Christ is in control and there's no temptation taking me, but such as is common to man, but God will make a way of escape. And that, listen, but if I don't believe that, come on, I might know that, I might have the knowledge of that, but I don't have a belief truly in that or a practice in that in my mind, but my mind is consumed with all the frets and the fears and the worries of the day. Friend, listen, this is what's going to take place, is I'm going to have a lack of faith. And there are a lot of different things we can point to, but I want us to understand this. Faith is a missing element in most people's lives, and thus, because it's missing, it is a direct result to the lack of authority or our lack of understanding of authority is why we are missing this element in our life. A thoughtful examination, if we looked at chapter number 8, leads us to some basic understanding of faith in relationship to the authority that God has in our life and that Christ has in our life. This Roman centurion that went to Christ, a Roman centurion, they say, had between 80 and 100 men under his authority. Those were men that answered directly to them. Those were men that he was responsible for. Those were men that the centurion was to bring orders from above him down to them. They passed through this line of authority. And in a Roman legion, there were about 60 Roman centurions. And so you can do that math, but that's what would form a Roman legion, was 60 centurions with between 80 to 100 men underneath them. And they were literally responsible for the day-to-day operations of the Roman army. In fact, the communication that the Roman centurion had with his men and the control that the Roman centurion had under his men led to the strength and the backbone of the Roman army. A centurion in today's army, they say, would hold the rank of a captain, and as they moved up in the ranks of as a Roman centurion, they would come to a place of being a full bird, what they call a full bird colonel in the Roman army. And each centurion had command of a group of men as well. Listen, while he had command of a group of men, he as well was under the command of other men. There was a line of authority that was being followed here. And so while he told some people what to do, and he had authority over them to give commands, he understood this, that he wasn't giving his own commands, but he was giving commands of someone that was above him. This is the commands that he was given. He had the commands of others that he was passing on. And the Roman army would have been known for being so strict that when a command was given, that the centurion followed the command. And not only did the centurion follow command, the strength of the Roman army was this, that whatever was said to do, whatever command was given by the centurion, it was followed. I mean, I know that's a crazy concept in our day. I mean, that orders came from the top and they didn't get altered somewhere in the line of command, but they made it down to the bottom the same as they came, and they were followed to the letter. That was very important in the Roman army. It literally led to the success of their world conquering, is that they all followed the orders that they were given when they were given them. This concept gave them strength. This concept allowed them to conquer the known world. This concept, we would understand, is expressed by this Roman centurion here to Jesus and caused Jesus to marvel at his faith. This concept that, listen, what I speak, I know is going to take place. Are you with me? That's the concept that the Roman centurion said, listen, I am a man, in verse number 9, I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this man, go, guess what? He doesn't sit around and argue. We don't sit around and ponder whether, well, I mean, is there a better way to do it? Is there a better way to get this accomplished? I mean, have you thought everything through? Are you sure this is the right order? No. I say to one, go, and he goeth. And I say to another, come, and he cometh. Do you understand? He was expressing, listen, I have absolute authority over their lives, and they do exactly what I say when I say to do it. And therefore, the concept that he's expressing here causes Christ to understand his faith, because what he's saying to Jesus, listen, I'm not worthy, and certainly he was not worthy, nor is anyone worthy for Christ to come in. But listen, what I do understand this is, you have all authority as well, and as you speak, things get done. You understand the concept? This is what this man understood of authority. And Jesus looks at him and says, this guy's a man of faith. I mean, he just believes that because of the authority of Almighty God, that everything I speak is going to be accomplished and is going to be done. This idea of being under authority is very key. We'd understand this about Jesus Christ. I'm skipping ahead. A man of faith knows that there is someone in absolute authority over him. A man of faith understands this concept, that there is one in absolute authority over him. And he said, I'm a man under authority. And this humility of leadership is lacking many times in us. That we think we get to give orders based upon absolute authority that sometimes we do not have. Amen. Absolute authority does not lie with any man, but absolute authority lies with God and God alone. Amen. All right, I'll amen myself. Absolute authority lies with God and God alone. Listen, when we talk about absolute authority, we're talking about authority that can only be occupied by one individual. No. When it came to this Roman centurion, there were men that were above him and there were men that were underneath him. But absolute authority belonged unto one that was above him, right? And he would bring out their orders. And when we talk about absolute authority, we're not talking about, well, who's in charge around here. No, absolute authority would tell us that we know exactly who's in charge. Like the buck definitely stops at this location. There's no one above him. There's no one beyond him. There's no one with another command that needs followed. And friend, listen to me. That position of absolute authority can only be occupied by God and God alone. That's the only one that can occupy that place, and who has supreme authority to occupy that place. It's not like he just decided, hey, I'll be in charge. I mean, somebody's got to be in charge, so I'll be it. No. In the beginning, he was, and therefore everything else came from him, and all things were made subject unto him and to him alone. And this is what we understand as we look through the Word of God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15 and verse number 27 says, for he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him, and put all things under him, that God may be all in all. Amen. That is talking about the very end. And God said, listen, Paul's saying this, and everything is going to be subject unto God. Even the Son of God is going to be subject unto God. Wait a second, Jesus and God are equal. Yes, absolutely they are, but understand with me, God even allowed himself to be supreme authority over his Son. Jesus Christ became submitted unto the Father, placing himself under the authority of another, that he might be able to minister unto us, that he might be able to lead and guide us. He became subject unto the authority of Almighty God. If you go over to Ephesians in chapter number 1 and verse number 22, it says this. It says, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be a head over all. I'm sorry, I should have started further up. go up to verse number 17. I know this is a little bit of reading, but I want us to understand this concept. I know we looked at 1 Corinthians in chapter 11 just the other day in services, but look at verse number 17 of Ephesians in chapter 1. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding become enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him up from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principalities and powers and might and dominions and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things, look at this, under His feet. Well, whose feet is He talking about there? Those are the feet of Christ. He's put all things under His feet and gave Him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of Him that fulfilleth all in all. I want us to understand this, that listen, God is in supreme authority, and God has placed Christ in authority over everything that is underneath Him. There's nowhere else Christ need go for authority other than God Himself. And therefore, if all in all is under the authority of Christ, then guess what? We found out this in 1 Corinthians 11, number 3, that the head of Christ is God, and the head of the head of man is Christ. He's the head. I mean, he's the authority unto which we answer to. And because Jesus was because God was in absolute control and Christ became submissive unto God, therefore, listen to me, we have an understanding that we too are under authority like Christ has put Himself under authority. God is in absolute authority. You and I, we need to understand this if we're going to be able to practice faith in God, are under the authority of Christ. You say, well, so you could have just said that. No. I think we need to ponder on that a while. We're under the authority of Christ. He said this in Matthew chapter 28. All power is given unto me. Go ye therefore. Come on. All power was given unto Christ, and therefore, because Christ has all power, we therefore go. God did not say that all power is given unto you. No, it was given unto Him. And so if I'm going to be under authority, I'm going to have to look to His authority, to His power, and to His might, and to His direction, and to His going. I'm not going to be able to have to just stop and look and go, okay, well, now I don't know where to go, so now I probably need to check in with God and check in with Christ, and I probably need to take some time because I've come to the end of myself. No, listen. You weren't to make a move to begin with without direction of Christ. Are you with me? I mean, there's nothing. It's not like, okay, I've gotten to a point where I can no longer live life for myself, and I've got discouragements, and I've got trials, I've got tribulations, and now I have to turn to Christ. No, listen, friend. Listen, if you have real faith in God, I'm talking about real living faith in God, you would not move unless He said go. And when He says go, then you'll move. And in practicing life in that manner, this is what takes place. This is what takes place. You practice real faith. The problem is that we live in the 21st century. And we're Americans. And we don't wait for anything. I mean, we need our way right away, right now, every time, every day. And we've got to go, go, go. And we cannot wait. I mean, on God. No, I'm telling you, say, well, what's the problem? The problem is we don't have faith in God. We think, well, God just must not know how fast things are happening. No. He understands how fast things are happening. He understands the world as it moves. And He understands all the different decisions that are being made by people who think they are in absolute authority. People who think they are in control. And what He wants to see in you is that you practice a belief system. And you practice a life that says, no, God has not moved. Therefore, we're not going to move. God didn't say go, therefore we just need to wait. God didn't say stop, so we don't need to stop. Come on. And you say, well, what are we practicing? What we're practicing is we are practicing faith in God. The issue that hinders faith is that we want to seize control from Him to run our own lives. That's the issue that hinders faith. Is we think that, God gets the big things, I'll get the small things. Small things really don't matter to God. Well, we wouldn't say that, but I'm just telling you, we live it. We live it. And we need to be very careful that listen, when we are practicing our obedience to God, what we are practicing is the reality that God is in control of all. It's not just there's a few things that He allows me. No. He is in absolute control and authority. And you say, well, I just don't understand how God's not black and white about everything. And that's a good excuse. No, that's a great excuse. And we're really good at using it as American Christians are really good at using. Well, the Bible doesn't directly say black and white verbatim. No, that's only an excuse is all that is. Because listen to me, He desires to lead you by His Spirit and by His Word and not by, well, this just, it just makes sense. I'm telling you, you're talking to a Christian that says, well, this is just the logical answer. I had to renew my card for working in the kitchen, my food handler's card. I had to renew it. And so I was taking a test, and Rochelle's never taken it. She said, was it easy? I said, honestly, if you just use, deductive reasoning, it's pretty much anybody could pass. As long as you have like a little common sense, you could pass this test. And it's multiple choice. If you fail that test, you shouldn't be, honestly, working with anybody's food. That's quite honest. You shouldn't be. But listen to me. God didn't say, listen, I'm just gonna leave you up to your common sense. Just go out there and I'm just go by your common sense. If that were the case, he very much handicapped a lot of people. He did. On purpose, he handicapped a lot of people. They have no common sense. But that's not what he said. No, he said, listen, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. God's not looking for you to use common sense. God's not looking for you to improve upon His Word. He's not looking for you to just to get some fuzzy feeling. And friend, listen to me. We live in a day of Christianity that's just all interested in feelings. No. God wants to order your thoughts in such a way that your first thought is not what do I think is best, but our first thought is what does God desire? And therefore, authority would come down from God and not necessarily through my common sense, not through my feelings, not through my emotions, not through anything else other than, listen, the Spirit of God leading me through the Word of God. And you say, what do you call that? You call that a Christian who is under the authority of God and is led of God by faith. Led of God by faith. And when we have a hindrance to our Christian life, when we have an area in our Christian life where, man, we have decisions to make and we need to make them now. No. What you need to have now is faith. You do. I get it that sometimes you got to put, what my dad always said this, sometimes you got to put feet to your prayer. Right? Sometimes you have to take steps. But listen to me. It doesn't just mean random steps. Right? I might be sitting here and going, man, I need the Lord to move. I need to know the direction of the Lord. Then listen to me. I need to get busy doing the things that I know the Lord wants me to do and trust that God's going to give me the orders and the direction when I need it. And sadly, many Christians sit around not doing anything that God's told them to do and wondering why God's not speaking to them and wondering why things aren't getting done is because we haven't followed the orders that have already come down from the headquarters. Amen. Because we haven't been obedient to those orders, there might not be any other orders coming until we get busy about the things that He's told us to do that we already know to do. And I tell you over and over again, many times we practice far less of the Word of God than we really know. We practice. We don't accomplish far less of the Word of God than we know to be truth of the Word of God and expected of us in the Word of God. And you say, why in the world would that be? it is because many times we lack faith just to follow through on the commands of God as they were given to us in His Word. But I'm telling you, God's not up in heaven just going, I just want them all confused. I want them to all wander around like their heads are cut off, like chickens with their heads cut off, not knowing which way. No. God desires to give wisdom to all men liberally. But you're going to have to ask of God. And then you're going to have to wait on God and have faith in God. And listen to me, if you're not willing to do those things, it's because you've assumed the role of authority in your life. Because you've decided, no, I'm going to be in charge. Because God isn't moving quick enough. And I'm ready for God to go. And so I'll just give my own command and my own order. Guess what? Because you lack faith in God. Well, I'm going to miss this great opportunity. And you might miss that opportunity. But the greatest opportunity you really missed is the opportunity to, by faith, see what God could have done in spite of all the great things this world has to offer. Did you hear me? I mean, the world said, man, great, just greatest opportunity ever. No. I wasn't counting on the greatest sale in the world to come along to buy a new car. No. But I am dependent upon God to provide for me all things that I have need of. And if we truly believe God, my God shall supply all thy need according to His riches and glory. So therefore, do I believe that God will do that? Or do I believe that I got to step up and do something in the stead of God because God is not, God just is not aware. No. I don't have a submission to authority. God's aware. I need to be submitted. Let's have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this evening.